turned around to see everybody standing, because it's hard to sing standing on the promises when you're sitting on the premises. My old crippled wife even got up off her stool. Must be a terrible thing to get old. I married my wife for her looks, but not the one she's been giving me lately. Good morning and welcome to MCC. I'm Pastor David and I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. Now, the message today has nothing to do with Father's Day, because we are in our series on Joseph and we want to continue that. But our topic today is something that's not only good for fathers, but for mothers and teenagers and retired folk. It's something like the other things we've talked about with Joseph's life story in the past. So thank you for worshiping with us this morning. We're continuing our sermon series on the life story of Joseph. It's found in the book of Genesis, and it's only 14 chapters long, chapters 37 through 50. Now, after last week's message and all the talk about Krispy Kreme donuts, Jeff thought he should encourage me to eat healthier. So when I got to the office Monday morning, there was a bowl on my desk. I was happy and thankful for his kind gesture, but he seemed a little confused when I marched into his office and said, "Thank you for the donut seeds." And that's the rest of the story of why we went home and plowed up the garden to plant those donut seeds. Over the last 2 weeks, we have shared about overcoming adversities and temptations. Today, we're going to look at how Joseph's life story can help us in times of discouragement. Have you ever had it up to here with life? You ever get so disgusted with your job or fed up with your responsibilities at work or church or school or even at home that you feel like, "I just can't take it anymore"? You feel like giving up and just dropping out altogether. When that happens, we suffer from low self-esteem, we're vulnerable to poor judgment, and we're tempted to walk away from all of our commitments and even turn our backs on God. The Bible says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. You always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Joseph's life story should encourage each one of us to be faithful to God even when we are discouraged. Here's a young man who could have easily said, "I've had it up to here. I've had it up to here with Egypt. I've had it up to here with my family. I've had it up to here, and I'm getting tired of treating people right only to see them let me down. I'm tired of waiting for God to answer my prayers." I mean, look at his life story so far. By the time we get to chapter 40, he's about 30 years old. The things he has experienced in those 30 years is enough to make anybody depressed and discouraged. He was hated by his brothers because he was his father's favorite, so much so they intended to kill him, but instead they sold him as a slave. In a matter of hours, he went from a pampered son of a wealthy father to a lowly slave in a foreign land. As a slave in Egypt, he was sold into Egypt. There he worked hard, and instead of turning bitter, he determined he's going to be the best slave he could be. This master soon noticed his abilities and how his God was with him and was giving him success in everything he did. So he was promoted to the administrator of everything in his master's house. But troubles continued. His master's wife tried to seduce him. He refuses her advances and runs out of the house. She's angered by his rejection, accuses him of attempted rape, and he's thrown into prison. Now that's not some highfalutin prison like we have today with golf courses and buffets and everything else. Psalm 105 verse 18 says, Joseph sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. He's in prison, a dungeon, in chains. And the one man who could have made his pardon possible forgets about him, and he's in prison for another 2 years. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. And let's read what he went through that caused him to be so incredibly discouraged. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. How many of you know it's not a good thing to offend the king? Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. What's that mean, he saw that they were dejected? He noticed them. He took time to say, hey guys, there's something wrong, isn't there? Men, we get into trouble when we see that on our wife and we say, is everything okay? And she says, I'm fine. Okay. So we go on because she said she was fine. You okay? I'm fine. Okay. How long does that go on? But he took notice. He could see it. It's written all over them. When Joseph came in the next morning, he saw they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. And then he puts in this little plug for himself. But when all goes well with you, remember me. And show kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. Verse 15, he says, I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Now, when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, Me too. I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Now this is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. See some similarities here. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away at your flesh. Similarities got different, didn't they? Not what I'd have wanted to hear. Now, verse 20, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Are you kidding me? I mean, surely you're kidding me, right? Just 3 days? And you know for those 3 days, they have both been thinking about what Joseph said their dream meant. 3 days and the king is going to restore you. 3 days, you're going to die. How do you get those out of your mind? And day by day it got closer and they would have been anticipating it more and more. And sure enough, it happens. Just 3 days. And the cupbearer forgets him. Another round of discouragement. And yet, setback after setback, Joseph remained faithful to God. Joseph had some incredible traits that you and I need to copy in our lives. Let's look at some of them. Number one, Joseph was responsible. In chapter 39, we learned that Joseph had found favor in Potiphar's eyes. That was his master in the house. And so much so that he was put in charge of everything in his house, everything he owned. And he didn't worry about anything except the food he ate. He entrusted everything to his care. Later in chapter 39, we learned that after the fiasco with Potiphar's wife, when Joseph was thrown in the dungeon, he found favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden, it says, put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. No matter his circumstances, no matter what was going on in his life, Joseph was responsible. You could count on him to do what he was supposed to do, to be the man he was supposed to be. Secondly, Joseph was sensitive to people. When the king's cupbearer and baker were thrown into prison, they were put under Joseph's care. And one day, he noticed they were not their usual selves. He took the time to ask them what was bothering them. And after all he has been through and is still going through, Joseph had the ability to see what other people were going through. Someone once said, "My greatest sense of joy is in knowing that when I am in my greatest hour of need, there is someone who needs me." That was Joseph. When you're right with God, even when the bottom has fallen out of your life, it's remarkable that God can and will use you to minister to someone else. Number three, Joseph was faithful to God. Sensitive to people and faithful to God, quite a combination. When they told him their dilemma, Joseph did not say, "Hey, you come to the right guy. I've had dreams myself. Hey, I'm a dream analysis expert. I can interpret your dreams." He didn't say any of that. Instead, he said, "You know, isn't God the one who gives the power of interpretation?" He gave all the power and all the recognition and all the honor to God. Number four, Joseph was a man of integrity. Not a word you hear thrown around much today. He told them the truth about their dreams, the good news, and the bad news. Telling the truth, even though it's not pleasant, is integrity. Let me ask you something. If you had been Joseph, what would you have told the baker about his dream? Would you have been tempted, like me, to say, Well, man, that's a tough dream. Why don't you come back in 4 days? And I'll tell you what that means. Or maybe just tell him, dude, don't buy any green bananas. That'll hit you in a minute. It's hard to tell someone the truth when you know it's going to hurt them. But integrity says, I have to tell you because I care about you too much not to tell you the truth. But there has to be a balance. And the balance for us as Christ followers is Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth how? In love. He was a man of integrity. Number 5, Joseph had perseverance. It's amazing as you read Joseph's life story that setback after setback after setback, he refused to quit. Now keep in mind, Joseph did not know the rest of the story. There was not a Gideon's Bible in his cell where he could read ahead to chapter 41. For all he knew, he was going to be spending the rest of his life in this dungeon. Yet despite another setback, he didn't give up on his faith. He's like that Energizer bunny. He just keeps going and going and going. What does it take to discourage you? The devil's greatest tool is discouragement. When we're discouraged, we're vulnerable and we're exposed. And when Satan sees a weak spot, that's when and where he attacks. We're going to put a verse on the screen, and I'd like to ask you to say it out loud with me. Just read it to yourself, but say it out loud with me, okay? Will you do that? The Apostle Paul put it this way. Is it there? Here we go. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Let's look at some keys to overcoming discouragement. What are some practical things you and I can do to rebound after we've had setback after setback after setback? Number one, when you are discouraged, keep doing your job. Joseph performed his duties to the utmost of his abilities, even though he was not very happy about what was going on. When we get discouraged, there's a temptation to withdraw, to do sloppy work, to be lazy and complain. But that only compounds the problem. We make others around us uncomfortable, sometimes to the point where they don't want to be around us. The next day, we feel guilty, and that makes you feel more discouraged. When you are discouraged, make yourself be responsible. Even though you don't feel like it, keep doing your job. Number 2, when we are discouraged, look for others to encourage. One of the best ways to overcome discouragement is to minister to someone else. Joseph is in prison, and what does he do? He takes on the troubles of 2 other prisoners who are hurting. Unlike us, sometimes when we hurt, we want everybody to suffer with us. If you don't believe that, raise a teenager. Misery loves what? Company. Instead, we need to reach out to others. I didn't put this in the outline, I forgot to, but if you would, write down on your outlines 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 4. Here's what it says in the Message. God comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, He brings us along someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Number three, when you are discouraged, put your trust completely in God. Even the best of people, intentionally or not, will let you down sometimes. Put your trust completely in God. That's what young Joseph did. His timing was undoubtedly, God's timing was undoubtedly difficult for Joseph to understand at times. And I'm sure God's methods were different than Joseph would have liked for them to be. But he hung on to his faith. A real test of our Christian commitment is this. Will you be faithful to God when life doesn't make sense? It's easy to be faithful when life is good. When the bills are paid, the kids are good, the marriage is great, there's money in the savings. But how strong will your commitment be to God and the things of God, setback after setback after setback after setback? Do what Joseph did. He put his hope and his complete trust in God. You take your situation, you take your problems, you take your struggles, you take your cancer, you take your addiction, you take your child, you take your future, and you place it in God's hands. I read something on Facebook, I guess, the other day that said, give God control of your life. He can do a better job than you can anyway. So, what's our takeaway? First and foremost, be faithful to God when life doesn't make sense. And it seems those times happen more and more all the time, doesn't it? But be faithful when life doesn't seem to make sense. But secondly, accept what you cannot change. Act on what you can. Believe it or not, like it or not, in this life, there are going to be some things we cannot change. Other people, the way they think about you or your God is one of the worst. But there can be a lot of things you can do something about. You can start over. You can break a bad habit. You can have a great marriage. You can have a better attitude and outlook on life. Your future can be incredible. You can overcome any discouragement you face with the help of God. If God brings you to it, He will see you through it. One more scripture, and this one is printed in your outline, again from the Message, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Father God, we thank You this morning for the realities and the practicalities of Joseph's life. We said early in the series, Joseph can easily become one of our favorite characters because his story is our story in so many ways. Father, we're learning through each of these steps that we're looking at in Joseph's life that the common thread seems to be faithful to God. We ask Your forgiveness. when we have let discouragement get so heavy in our lives that we do get fed up to here and we just give up. Renew, restore. Those are two beautiful words we find all throughout the Scriptures. And in many times when we find those words, it's in a prayer. We're asking for You to renew and to restore. Today, Father, maybe that's the prayer some here need to pray. Renew, Father, restore my walk with You that I once had. Discouragement has come. Setback after setback has beat me down. I just want to give up. So restore that hope, restore that trust, restore that faith. Because I do know, as we've said many times, Joseph understood that in all things, God is still working for the good of those that love Him. We do love You. And some of us give You a lot more to have, a lot more work to have to do to make good out of it, because of our own silly choices. But sometimes there are those things we can't change, Father, and we just ask You to see us through it. But those things, Father, that You can work in our lives and with our lives to make a difference. Help us to make those changes, to act on the things we can do something about. And maybe this morning that thing we need to work on is repentance. We know if we keep living the life we're living, it's never going to get any better. We need to repent. Turn around. Go in another direction. Turn around and come running home to You. For some, Father, maybe it's to continue to grow in obedience to You through Christian baptism, wash away our sin, to receive a gift from You like none other, the indwelling presence of Your Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us each day. For some, maybe it's just a fellowship we need more of. A good church home like this. We're a bit crazy, but we're crazy about You. And we know that You are crazy about us. For others, Father, it may mean we need to go home today. And we need to say something to someone in our family. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a co-worker this next week. Or we need to act on some things we can change. But whatever our decisions, we thank You that we've had this time together this morning in this place with these wonderful people of like precious faith who have come to sing praises to You, to offer our prayers, and most of all to offer ourselves to You. I surrender all. I come just as I am. And all those wonderful invitation hymns, take us as we are, mold us and make us into what You want us to be, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.